This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with two full-blown kids.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a toddler.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, when I grow up, I'm going to be a self. Plus, Biz finds the pen is mightier than the sword, and Teresa cuts it back.
Woo!
August.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Yep.
In August.
It's August.
That can mean many things.
Yeah. It means a lot.
It does. It means a lot to me. It means I've got a whole fucking month before school. Teresa, with that in mind, how are you?
Well, I do want to point out both of our kids, our oldest kids, are now a year older.
They are.
Both of our oldest kids have their birthdays in August. So August is a big month.
It is a big
month. For us and for One Bad Mother.
That's true.
Because it's kind of momentous.
Yes, because the first two children, when we both only had one child each, we started the show.
Yeah.
And life seemed wide open to us.
And very difficult already.
I know. The forest was closing in. Yeah, Katie Bell just turned 10.
Yeah. And Gracie turned 8.
Watch out. Tweet. I'm so close to having a teen in my house.
I know.
Oh, my God. Anyway, how are you?
Okay, how am I? I'm okay. I'm just going to share a little tidbit. This is neither genius nor fail, which is why I decided to talk about it here. So you guys may remember that we went up to the mountains in July, and I came back broken, but ready to go back to therapy, which was good. We have another trip to the mountains coming up. It's actually happening right now as this show is being released into the world, because we're recording a few days early. And I made a decision, did not make this decision in therapy. I made this decision on my own in the privacy of my own brain. And the decision was, I'm going to take a different car from Jesse, and I'm going to keep two of the kids, and I'm going to go a day late and leave a day early. Because I am the main person responsible for a two-year-old when we're in the mountains. And guess who's not that fun to be in the mountains with?
Two-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just tired. Like, I'm tired. I'm tired. It's not more relaxing for me to go there.
Right.
It is definitely less relaxing. There's no break in, like, the child care. Like, I don't have a village there in the mountains. And I also don't, like, we don't have it set up the same. Like, we don't have gates on the stairs.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, he can, like, get it, like, the stereo and the VHS stuff.
Yeah.
And he's just getting at stuff all the time.
Yeah.
He's into stuff. And there's just, like, he can reach the washing machine. And he's, like, turning it on all the time and turning on the dishwasher. I mean, it's just, like, all that stuff that will be done within a year.
Yeah.
But, like, right now, it's just constant.
Yeah.
And then you can go outside, but you're out in the rugged, mountainous landscape. So that's just, you're also just not you. By you, I mean me. I am not relaxed because I'm watching my two-year-old nonstop.
Yeah.
And, like, I still want to go.
Yeah.
I still want to go. And I'm looking forward to going. And it's not that I don't want to go. And that's why it's, like, it's kind of, it's not a genius moment to cut the trip short, because it's not that great. Like, I would like to be able to go for a week with my family and enjoy that. But I just know that it was too much last time.
Yeah.
And, like, this is a way, like, I know that Grace and Jesse can go, and, like, Grace can be with Jesse for, like, an extra night at the beginning and an extra night at the end of the trip, and they will be fine, and that will be great. And I know that, like, it's, like, kind of more work for me because I have Oscar and Curtis. And, like, I'll be doing the drive by myself, so I won't be able to, like, kind
Reach back, do all that stuff. Yeah.
And it feels more manageable.
Yeah.
And it, I guess, feels a little bit, I don't know that it's self-care, but it's like,
it's a boundary.
It's like facing reality.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of just, like, going blindly into this again and being like, well, hopefully it'll be better this time. I'm like, what can I do to like mitigate the damage here? Like what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it is a boundary as opposed to sometimes I don't think a genius, boundary and genius don't have to be the same. You are setting up a different structure to see how it will work.
Yes.
And I think that's a good experiment. Yeah, good. Good job.
Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's fucking August. I am going to share a story.
Okay.
That took place when I was in Alabama. Guys, we don't have a guest today, so I just enjoy, let's enjoy the story.
Yeah.
Okay. So we always go home to Alabama in the summer for a couple of weeks. So the kids have some good time with grandmama and grandpapa, with my parents. And it's just, you know, Katie Bell gets to go to a camp. And yay, Alabama. So this time, though, I went with a second purpose, which was to help my parents go through a lot of their stuff, to purge and sort and downsize. So I was just going through stuff like crazy. And I come upon these three boxes that I knew belonged to my mother's father. And they've just sat unopened forever. I've like over the years, I've watched them move from closet to closet. So I say to her, you know, as I'm burning through boxes, I say, hey, there are the three boxes. I think they're all stuff from Grandpapa. Do you want to go through them? And she was like, what? And I was like, the boxes. They're here. She's like, I didn't even know we had them. And I was like, do you want me to go through them? And she's like, yeah, but I don't think I want anything from there. And I was like, okay, look, not my relationship. I like going through boxes. So
I'm just imagining that you go in and it's like filled with gold coins.
I know. It's not, that's not what I was worried it was going to be filled with. I was worried it's going to be filled with some not so things that are
a dead body.
Yeah, dead body. So I'm going through the boxes and it's a lot of letters. Mm-hmm. That man wrote a lot of letters and he saved a lot of letters. And there are letters going all the way back to like the 1800s from like members of the family. And that was kind of fun to see, like, I'm in Cincinnati and I'm in here, right? Yeah. And that's kind of fun. So I'm going through, you're like, oh, this is interesting. Okay, yeah. She doesn't want this. I'm going to send this to my cousin who's like the family historian. And I'm getting like down to the bottom of the last box. And there's like a little bell and there's this like thing that looks like a pen and like some other odds and ends. Uh-huh. And Katie Bell's with me. Uh-huh. And she is in high, I want to go through a box mode. What's there? Can I have that? Can I have it? And she starts to reach for the pen. And I say, I like to look through boxes too, Katie Bell. I'm going to look through this box. And I pull the pen out and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, I think this is a pen. And we're like trying to open it. And she's like, let me. I'm like, no. I'm going to open it. It's got like this weird like mechanism on the end. There's definitely not a cap that's coming off when we're pulling or twisting. Uh-huh. There's a little sort of, I would call it kind of a switch, but it's too old to be like a light switch. It's more like, like, you know, those locks where you slide it into place and shift it up or shift it down to slide it. It's one of those kind of things on it. So I shift that back and it kind of locks into place. And Katie Bell's still asking for it. I'm like, I don't know. And I, somewhere in my brain, it said, turn that set in a different direction. And I wind up pushing, you know, unlocking it, thinking, at this point in my mind, I'm like, I don't think this is a pen.
Yeah.
Boom.
What was it?
It was like a motherfucking pen gun. Katie Bell and I both were like, what? And like, I was like, oh my God, that just went off. That like went off. And she's like, it did go off my ears, right? And I was like, oh my God. And like, Stefan was on the phone in the other room and my parents were downstairs like asleep and mama said that she had started to come up, but then she heard me and Stefan talking. So she was like, it must be okay. I start looking to see if something had come out because the end of it is broken now. Like the end of the seal, like there had been like this teal colored sort of seal on the end that had opened. The smell of explosive was, you know, like a burning smell. It's burned off. I'm looking to see if there was a bullet. There was not a bullet. what this was. A, there was a loaded something in the bottom of this box for God
knows how. No warning. Yeah.
So what it was it's, I wish I could remember the exact name, but basically it wasn't a bullet that would be in there. You would put a chemical, like gas. It's like a tear gas kind of thing. And you would set it off and it would, you know, stink up. So I'm like, why the fuck?
I don't even, that's not.
Yeah. So it was a tear gas pen gun. This is, if you go Google vintage or old tear gas pen gun, I'm showing Teresa right now. It like looks like a pen that you cock and load and that shoots out gas.
That's terrifying.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, oh, my God. Yeah. I just, thank God I didn't aim it at Katie Bell.
Right.
Thank God I didn't let her try and fiddle with. I mean, it's the epitome of the kind of, like, object this that you would stare right at and then do it.
Yeah.
And then you lose your.
You're like the toddler who got access to the gun.
To the real gun and not know what it was.
It's just like, what does this do?
I don't know.
Press here.
Boop. And, like, it was, what the fuck was a tear gas pen gun doing in the bottom of that box? Wow. My mother was like, what? My father just took it and then it disappeared. Anyway, so that was incredibly exciting.
Your dad wants to use it for a
prank. Of course he does. It's there somewhere. Anyway, that was very exciting. And what was really crazy was that I totally forgot to tell you all about it. Because I was like, oh my God, this is a story to tell. Because there's always weird shit in the bottom of people's boxes.
Yes.
So now there's a new thing to keep an eye out for.
Yep.
Tear gas pen gun. Well, that doesn't tie in at all to what we're going to talk about today. Though last week we did talk about the feeling of working where we live, but not living where we live, that sort of feeling. And I think we're going to continue on that sort of same theme with the idea of something we touched on, which was, I think I'm playing self.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Playing self. We touched on that last week. I'm just going to give a brief synopsis of how that came about. We were talking about sort of self-care things that we have around us, like, oh, I'm going to read the paper. The paper is in front of me when I'm having breakfast. There are books next to my bed. Mm-hmm. I paid for a gym membership, right? But then you never use them. They become like props.
Yeah.
And it feels like playing house, but it's more like playing self-care.
Yeah.
These are the things that I use.
Yeah.
Little Timmy is sipping from a teacup.
Yeah.
Little Mommy is longing to read a book. So that kind of coincides with something you were talking about separately off air about habits. Mm-hmm. And I want us to kind of look at, is putting self-care last a habit? Can that become a habit? And I'm just going to open that up.
Sure. I mean, I think that the problem I'm having right now is that the idea that, like, you can change your habits and, like, start doing things that are, regular self-care without actually, like, having any of the supports in place or any of the structure in your life in place to actually make those things happen. So just being like, I'm going to do this. It's going to be good. I can do this every day.
Yeah.
And then kind of knowing, okay, that's maybe not going to be possible as much as I really, really want it to be possible. Like an example I gave you, Biz, off the air was like, I really like running on the treadmill at the YMCA. And I periodically have these like moments where I'm like, I'm just going to do this every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way to do this every day. I'm going to prioritize it so that I can do it every day. Because when I do it, I feel so much better. And then immediately 9 days pass before I do it again. And I don't feel like... oh, I suck. Like, why can't I get this done? It's just reality. Like, I'm actually proud of myself that I continue to try to go like a few times a month, because there's also that thing that happens where if it's not working out the amount that you intended, to just give up and to just not go for forever.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, I couldn't go every day, or I couldn't go 3 times a week, so why bother? So I'm actually like amazed that I continued to try. But like, my habits are such that I am now like, every time I kind of like find myself trying to bust out of my habits and set up a new habit that might be healthier for myself mentally or physically, or emotionally I sort of know the moment I have that thought, like, I'm going to do this differently from now on. Or I tried something differently and I like it this way that's different. I'm going to do this from now on. There's this part of me that kind of like already knows that I won't be able to follow through. And that's become my habit. Whereas like the Teresa of years ago, pre-kids, I was really good at following through on shit. Like I followed through on so much shit that I didn't want to do. Like I went to law school. I passed the bar. Like I had to study for the bar. I had to do like all the, I was like, I ran like long distances. I did like a lot of, a lot of sustained effort, hard things, like set goal, achieve goal, set goal, achieve goal. Like that was the Teresa of before. And like, it used to be that like, if I planned to run one day, I really never broke that promise. Like there, I remember like one time where I was like, I could just not run today. And it felt really weird to not. And I was like, this is weird. Like, is it okay? And it was like kind of an icky feeling. Like, I could just not run today. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And like, I my grin is starting to go across because it is just that like.
It's so different.
It's so different.
It's just night and day different.
Yeah.
It's another life.
It's another life. It's the Teresa of yesterday.
Yes.
And the Teresa of today.
Yeah.
What will be the Teresa of tomorrow? You know?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's weird because I think a lot of my habits as they are right now.
Yeah.
And I do have some self-care habits that are good. But, like, a lot of my habits are just, my life got pared down so much when things became a crisis.
Yeah.
So, the bare minimum pared down life that is not really prioritizing self-care or doesn't have the ability to prioritize self-care right now, that's my habit.
That's the normal. That became the normal.
Habit. That's the normal habit now. So that's the running every day.
Yeah.
Of before.
Yeah.
Like that's, and so that's the thing that it's so hard to break. And then when I think about, can I break it? It feels unlikely.
That becomes a new normal.
Yes.
That becomes the, it makes, I mean, you first have kids, there's a new kid in your house, however they got there. And obviously everybody's ready to help you come up with reasons to feel okay, not doing this.
Stuff.
Right. And it's also just chaos. And like, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, things get older, you think there's room, I can now do stuff. And a new, lots of times a new crisis or a new something comes up. And again, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Why I'm not doing this self-care.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And then it becomes really, that becomes normal not to be doing it.
Yeah.
And I think I am right there with you. Mm-hmm. Because even one of the things that you said when you were texting me about this is you had said, it's such a joke because 2 days later, I can't keep it going. I have so little fuel in the tank.
Yeah.
And it's the tank or the bucket. We've referred to it as many different things. But when that's too full.
Yeah.
And there's no, or too empty, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be superhuman and draw upon some sort of inner beast that's going to help us get through to the self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you. I have some self-care stuff I'm doing. But when you look at it, you're thinking, well, that just should be a normal thing.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be like chalked up as a self-care. That's just something I deserve all the time, right? Yeah. When does self-care go back to being some sort of luxurious state of like, you know, treats as opposed to I'm reading today.
Right. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Right? Like it is a weird habit or rut. We referred to them as ruts in the past gets spurred on by the lack of space to create. And I think as you had said when you were describing this, it's hard to set up the new habits or to change the habits without the structures in place.
Yeah.
So I think we also have to look at, well, what are the structures that need to be in place? Because it's, you know, I certainly tell everyone I want to be going to yoga 3 days a week, right? Like I tell everybody in the house, this is important. Yeah. I have to do this.
Yeah.
But it's also the first thing to go if something comes up.
Yeah.
If like a nighttime thing comes up or Stefan has to do something or somebody's coming into town suddenly that's gone.
Right.
Right. Summer, you know, am I taking her? Yeah, I've taken her Katie Bell a few times, but like I can't do that every day of the week. It's not something I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, sure, I could drag her, but like I think some people are really good at taking kids to the daycare at the Y or the gym or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got it. I'm not. I can't. That's like more like exhausting and more work.
Yeah.
So I fall into that camp.
Yeah.
Right? So like the whole thing goes back to that like, and I feel like we've been exploring this for years now without being honest with ourselves about what we're exploring. And that is this idea that we can shift things by thinking differently.
Yeah.
And I don't want to poo-poo that. I'm not saying that's not a thing. But now I'm thinking I have to be careful that it doesn't slip into the camp of wake up at 4.
Yeah.
Take your kids to the daycare. Yeah. Right? Like
just don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like this doesn't have to be hard. Like, it's like, well,
it
okay.
Actually, okay.
But it feels hard. I don't know. I can't just psychologically
turn that off.
Yeah.
And they're definitely like pre-kids. I was all about, I'll turn that thought up. I'm going to work on this about myself. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I do believe strongly in the messages we send ourselves.
Yeah.
That there are some messages we have to stop sending ourselves. There are some messages we need to be sending ourselves. But I now see this vast gray area between correcting the message and creating a false sense of messaging. Does that make sense? Like, if I just try a little harder, I'll achieve self-care.
Yeah.
If I just stay up a little earlier, or if this time I really make everyone in my family commit to this thing for myself, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know. I think about it as like, so there's things that we do for self-care that give us energy.
Yes.
Which is great. But a lot of times the stuff that I'm trying to do to get to the self-care uses up so much energy. So I actually think like the childcare at the Y or the gym is like a really good example of this, because I am like sort of in the middle. I can't just take my kids to the childcare anytime, but there are certain times where we can do it.
Right.
But like I can't, if they go to camp that day, that's the thing they did that day.
Yeah.
Like it's way too much on them and on me to then transition to a whole other setting with a whole other provider and like separate from me again and like set them up with whatever their activity is going to be. And if there's going to be a conflict between me and my child in that situation, that becomes way not worth it.
Yeah.
Like there's no amount of fun, exciting exercise that I can do that will make it work out to even that I went through that with my kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
no.
day. And so I'm totally with you on that. And that's a good example, because it's like to get to that stuff that I want to be doing more regularly for myself, like going to bed early every night. Like I keep thinking like, I'll feel so much better if I get a full night's sleep. When I sleep better, I feel so much better when I wake up in the morning. But there's a reason why I don't go to bed at the time that I go to bed.
Right. Because there's
other stuff I'm giving up if I don't do that.
Yep.
And that's just it's my habit because there's a reason I'm up at that time because there's stuff that I'm doing at that time. That's part of my day.
Yeah.
So I'd be like cutting off part of my day. And I have to find time and ways to do those things at other times of the day. And it's too tiring.
Like, well, can't you do it while you're driving? Can't you do it while you're in the middle of work? Like, I mean, when I think about where I juggle, just if I give myself the extra time to sleep or to turn off or whatever. Yeah, you're right. Everything's still there. It's the old, like, don't do the dishes or the laundry.
Right.
Well, it's still fucking got to be there. Now there's just more.
Yes. You're going to have to do it at some point.
Yeah. Yes. You do. That is the path I've chosen, that I need dishes clean in my house, right?
Yeah. So we're talking about like basically moving stuff around.
Yeah.
It's still the same amount of stuff.
That's right. And so then the question becomes, well, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, in a way, we're probably actually doing a great job.
Yo.
And the reason we're doing stuff the way we're doing it is because this is the best way we've figured out to do all this stuff.
I know. I just sit there sometimes and I think, the question we always ask, how the fuck does anything get done? And then that immediately leads me to, I deserve a shit ton more praise.
Yeah.
For the fact that this shit's getting done. I mean, a lot is getting done.
Yes.
And I deserve trumpets and trophies and like people bowing to my feet.
Yes.
All the fucking time.
I know.
And you're like, yeah, obviously. But even that doesn't make that window. And for the self-care.
Yes.
And you say habit, I say give up.
Right.
Because this all ties back again to this question we've asked over and over and over again, which is how do we get more self-care? And we can listen to all the podcasts and we can read all the blogs and we can read all the magazines and we can sit here and have this dance around the self-care fire over and over and over again. And I don't know if we've progressed much.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that like as a shit on myself.
Yeah.
But
it is like the ongoing struggle of our lives.
It is
like right now.
Legitimately, unless I just drown in the like martyrdom of doing it. And I don't want to.
No.
I like the choices I make when it comes to maintaining the things that have to happen around me for the family and for the house and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because clean areas make me feel good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to give up that.
Right.
I've made choices and I'm living with choices.
Yeah.
Right? But I also want to be a self.
Yes.
For real.
I know.
Like a for real self. Not a, I put lipstick on, I'm a self. I play dress up today. Like.
Yeah.
Like a real self.
I mean, like,
I'm like reaching out as
possible,
if I can touch it.
I know.
In the booth.
I mean, I think it's possible that like striving for that is like the best we can do right now.
That and just setting the alarm clock for when our kids are old enough. That waiting game is not fair either. To sit there and say, when my kids are older, I'll be able to have this. Because if we haven't broken the habit, we're not going to have it when our kids are older.
Well, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Because it's that thing of like, when they go to school, I'll have time. And then like somehow my kids are going to school and it's still really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find
your
time for anything. I don't like that. But there's that part of me that's like, I'm doing this. This is a world that I have created.
Well, right. Because it's hard to get out of. I think about like, when both kids were full-time for the first time last year, I was like, this is it.
Yeah. You were like that.
And
that was good for a bit. Yeah.
But the self-care moments that I'm going to go to this you know, to the yoga class or the whatever it is, the therapy, or I'm going to go take this time to do this mm-hmm. errand that will please me.
Yeah.
Right. There would come a time where all the day-to-day stuff that I still had to do began to turn those self-care moments into moments where I was like, that's a big chunk of my day.
Yeah.
Do I really want to do that?
Yeah.
Right? Like where the enjoyable things become things that are like, is that a burden, actually?
Right. Yeah.
Like, and it's not about, do I deserve it? It right. just is, huh?
Like, which is the self-care?
Which is the self-care?
To get stuff done on my to-do list or to do the yoga class? Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
I know, because there's just a lot. But that's why they say that, like, for self-care activities, you should make it, like, a required thing.
Yeah.
Like, you should make it, like, something you can't just not do.
Not do it.
It has to, like, even if you're like, oh, this doesn't sound good to me right now, you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, so far, I've put it in my calendar.
Yeah.
That's
not working.
That's not enough. Apparently, just putting it in the calendar is not informing the universe enough that shit's got to be real.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank God we get to come in here every week and explore this. I feel better. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Care.com, the easy and reliable way to find care for everyone in the family when and where you need it.
Guys, Biz and I both have premium memberships with Care.com. I was just posting on there for a new sitter. It's incredibly easy. It was so easy to find so many different possible sitters in my area. Care.com makes it really easy to do whatever you need. Background checks, set up interviews, message with people. Care.com makes the hiring process convenient and enjoyable.
To save 30% off a Care.com premium membership, visit care.com/mother when you subscribe. That's care.com/mother for 30% off a premium membership.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Okay. I am somebody who enjoys a supportive sandal. Because we live in Southern California where it's warm and I have high arches. And long-time listeners could remember that when I think I was pregnant with maybe Oscar, like early on in the show, I got some sandals that were kind of embarrassing to look at, but I loved them so much. And I came on the show and we laughed about it together and enjoyed that. And then a few days ago, I was at home and I have some other sandals in my life that I enjoy, but I was going to put away those sandals under my bed, which is where I shove all my shoes right now. And I looked at them and I went, are these gross and old? Yes. They're gross and old. Do these still seem like a shoe I want to wear? Can I do without this pair of shoes? I loved them so much.
Yes.
I'm ready to do without these shoes. And I made that decision and I was so sure that I just picked them up and I literally like skipped across the house to throw them into my kitchen trash can because they're done.
Yeah,
they are done.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah.
And even Gracie noticed, and she was like, "What are you doing?" Because she was like,
"Was there skipping?"
She just, she just noticed me like cheerfully skipping across the house, and I was like, "Nothing, I'm fine. I'm just happy." It just felt really good to say goodbye to those.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah,
that's good. Good job.
Thanks.
This is not a genius per se. It's just more of a fun fact that no one cares about, but I want to tell people about.
Well, that's pretty much what mine was, too.
Yeah.
But go on.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, mine's different.
Okay.
No, it's exactly the same. So I had a pair of sandals. No. So Hot Dog Summer, if you've been consistently listening to the show, Stefan and I decided to do Hot Dog Summer, which is just movies in the backyard on Saturday nights and the hot dogs or whatever you want to put on a grill, veggie dogs, but it doesn't matter. This is not a genius about hot dogs. This is a genius about Ellis has been staying up to watch the movies when they are appropriate enough for him to watch. And he's been doing great.
Cool.
And like, it's one of those things that you say and a lot, not tall, people would be like, But like, Ellis isn't a nighttime kid. And the fact that he has been able to stay up to do this fun family thing. And then when I go put him to bed, he just goes down. Like, it's not a huge to do. It's not like suddenly we're upset.
Yeah.
And it's like working.
Wow. Cool.
Makes me feel like that's a really nice thing we're getting to do. So Hot Dog Summer didn't become, we were joking that next year's theme should be Hot Dog Summer presents Summer Resentment. And it's just everybody outside watching a movie, but I'm inside with the kids watching something else. So it hasn't become a resentment Hot Dog Summer.
That's great.
So anyway, that's nice.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Hi, this is a genius. It's been beautiful weather out here in Pennsylvania, and yesterday was a Sunday, and it's my self-care day. So one day a week, I get a break from being the caregiver from my 70-year-old mother. So I decided I wanted to lay by the pool. And I also wanted to take some wine along and sneak it in past the lifeguard. My genius is, I remember that all of the lounge chairs they have there have slats. So I brought along a straw. So when it was time to flip over on the lounge chair to tan my back, I was able to slide the straw up through the slats, and I didn't even have to move anytime I wanted a sip of wine because the straw was just right there. It was perfect, and I felt like the smartest person in the world when I figured that out. We're all doing a fantastic job.
You are a champion.
Yeah.
That genius brought me such delight.
Yeah.
It just like, I really love it when you guys call in. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me just sort of symbolizes everything we just talked about.
Yep. That's really great. Good job.
So great. You are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Failures.
Fail, fail, fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Oh, this is just a little one, but I was drawing with a crayon set with Curtis, my 2-year-old, and he pulled the, you know how like those big sets of crayons come with that like crayon sharpener thing? It's like in the plastic green thing.
Sure.
And like, whatever. Yeah. And he's like looking at it and like trying to figure out what it is. And I was like, oh, it's a crayon sharpener. Here, let me show you how it works. And I just immediately shoved a crayon in there. The crayon broke off in there and was so jammed in there that I just immediately filled the crayon sharpener like opening with shredded mashed crayon that I couldn't then get out. It was just instant. It was like, oh, here, let me show you how this works. And then it was like, never mind. We'll never use this. We'll never use it. It doesn't work.
I like the idea that Curtis, for the rest of his life, this is how it works. Right? Like that. He's just like, he goes to preschool and he's like,
Yeah.
And it's like, woo, crayon breaker. I love it. Well, that's horrible. Yep. You're a monster, and he is scarred for life. Okay. So I am also on a small trip. Mm-hmm. I believe I mentioned this was going to be happening, and we are here recording a few days early. The family and I, my immediate, Stefan, the children, and myself, are getting on a plane Saturday morning at the crack ass of dawn and flying to Pennsylvania for a family wedding. And we are incredibly excited about getting to see the East Coast family. They're a really good time. I'm very excited about that. We are then coming back Monday. I mean, it's just like a up day.
Oh,
I'm back, right?
Yeah.
So Saturday, fly.
That's fast.
Yeah, it's very fast. And it's direct, and I know a lot of people like direct. We like to have a break somewhere to walk around. Mm-hmm. That works for our kids really well. Mm-hmm. But this is 5.5, 6 hours straight on a plane.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting it out there because I don't want to go into it with unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
In therapy, my therapist said to me, I was saying something wistful about events that are coming in the future and saying, oh, but you know, that's going to be fine for a little while. And she was like, this sounds counterintuitive, but I think what you need to do is work on when your brain tells you something's going to be fine and don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should instead be preparing for the harder work. Mm. And I was like, that's interesting. So it's sort of like going into this trip thinking this is going to be fine is a fail.
Yeah. You're falsely reassuring for no reason.
For no reason.
It's like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
There's
going to
be
too.
Multiple fails.
Yeah.
I mean, like the anxiety that we're leaving in just a few days is already building of like, I don't know if we're ready to do this.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten all the normal things that I normally do for trips.
Totally.
It's just going to be full of fails.
It is. And the reason you feel the need to tell yourself it's going to be fine is because you already know how full of fails it's going to be.
Right. And the fail is trying to tell myself it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then just be met with crushing disappointment for 72 hours.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I can
see why this is a fail.
Right? Like, so this is like a...
And I'm not going to say, but it'll be okay.
Don't tell me it'll be okay. It's got to be a nightmare.
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed. This is a fail. Okay, so I printed a bunch of pictures of my son for his first birthday. We'll put him up and like, it'll be a thing. People will look at him. Oh, look how cute. Look how little he used to be. Okay. So I'm going through on my phone and I'm taking all these pictures and just dropping them into the little, window I have up pulled up for Target on their photos. Think, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. So I go an hour later to pick up the pictures that I just put in through Target, and I go to Target all the fucking time because I'm a stay at home mom and you just go to Target a lot, so they know me. And I get the pictures out, and there's one picture. Hold on, baby. Hold on. Here's your puppy. There's one picture where my entire boob is out. Oh, fucking fail.
Well, it
could be worse.
It could be worse. But I don't want that to take the sting out of the fact that everybody at Target now has seen your boob.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably, I remember, this is not going to make you feel better. In Key West, years and years and years and years, long, many lifetimes ago, I was down at Key West, and there was this three-story bar. And the first story is just your traditional, like, bar. The second story, there's a lot of game stuff. And the third floor, it's like a roof deck, and it says naturalists. And I think, like nature, people who like nature. Yeah. And me and my three friends, we go up and we're hanging out at the bar. And that's when I began to realize that's not what it means. It means people are up here naked. And like everybody's up there naked. So we're like, well, obviously, let's get naked.
Yeah.
So we're up there naked, and the pictures have been taken.
Yeah.
And we go and develop them, and I realize later that on the wall of the camera place where you develop it are pictures of people that have, like, in Key West, including naturalists. And I'm thinking, I bet those people just save a copy and put them up in this, like, Key West montage.
Yeah.
So now I assume anytime I take photos in, there's, like, it's somewhere.
Yes.
Right? So your boob is somewhere.
Your boob's somewhere.
Yeah.
It's gone somewhere.
Yep. And it's still with you.
Yeah.
So good job. Yeah. Taking a picture of your boob at some point in time. I know it happened with breastfeeding or something like that. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it was a hot night. I don't know.
You never know.
You're doing a horrible job, only to the benefit of Target.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Michelin Tires.
Stop! That is what's in my head all the time when I see somebody behind me not paying attention.
Yes.
And I need to stop safely. Guess what? I discovered I should be thinking more about my tires. Because that plays a huge part in how quickly and safely you can stop. In fact, I now worry about all the tires everybody has on their car. Michelin builds their tires to perform across every diaper run, pickup, car line, drop-off, road trip, emergency, gotta get the kid to sleep, drive around the corner. When worn, Michelin Premier all-season tires come to a complete stop, while some other worn tires are still traveling at 15 miles per hour.
So next time when you're looking for new tires for the family car, consider Michelin Premier all-season tires. Michelin, performance every time.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors. And
nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor, and I'm a medical enthusiast, and we create Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week, I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately, we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday. Right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the match game. Our contestants, Anike and James from the hit podcast Minority Corner.
Hey.
I'll ask you questions in a rapid fire round. Favorite character on a Shonda Rhimes show?
Olivia Pope.
Ooh, I said Olivia Pope's wig.
Mm. Oh, so close. How do you feel about Disney?
They need to pay reparations to black people because Mickey Mouse was based off of blackface.
I said get rid of the racist rides, Jungle Cruise, Splash Mountain. Mm.
Who are you voting for in the primary?
It's too damn early.
I'm just getting to know these fools. Mm.
Ooh, no dice. What celebrity do you side-eye the most?
Kevin Hart. Can we get a real apology for your homophobia?
Justin Timberlake.
Nipplegate.
Favorite superhero movie?
Black Panther. Wakanda Forever.
Congratulations, but you still lose.
Now I'm side-eyeing you.
Catch Anike and James, the Wonder Twins of podcasts, on Minority Corner every Friday at Maximum Fun.
Guys, no guests today, which is, we all know, is a lie, because there's always a special guest at every show, and that's you, our listeners. Let's listen to our very special guest, a mom having a breakdown.
Hey, so this is Becky. This is a breakdown for sure. You know, it's funny because it's not the one thing that makes you hit the wall. It's the every little thing that piles up. You know, I can handle not sleeping for the last three nights because my nine-month-old has decided I'm a human pacifier. I can handle my two-year-old climbing on me like I'm in a jungle gym and losing all personal space and just pulling on me. I can handle the fact that we're doing cloth diapers and we have just a basket full of cloth diapers waiting to be stuffed and folded, and there's none ready to put on the kids. I can handle the fact that most of the laundry is on the bed, folded, waited to be put it up for a week now. I can handle all that. What I can't handle is I can't get it together enough to get out of the house to get my two-year-old rolled in pre-K, because I can't get my nine-month-old to go to sleep, and I'm still a jungle gym, and I... Oh, that's the best. That's him doing the Coco Tiger. Isn't that everything? Coco Tiger, that's right. That's right. This is a ramble, but I just don't have time to find the paperwork to get in the role, and it's just all a lot. Thank you for listening. This is an amazing podcast, and you guys are doing a great job.
You are doing an amazing job.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I see no reason why you should be able to find paperwork and get your two-year-old enrolled in preschool.
Yeah.
That's
impossible.
That's impossible.
You haven't slept.
You haven't slept.
And you're a human jungle gym.
And a human pacifier.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the Coco Tiger, that's cute. But combined with all the other things,
yeah,
my kids did plenty of cute stuff.
Yeah.
That made me want to cry.
Yeah.
That just made me want to cry.
Yeah, me too. Because I was like, that's supposed to be cute.
Cute.
And I feel like dying.
Yeah, I feel like dying. Feel like... This is awful.
Yeah.
And then
so
it makes
hard.
You feel more awful
yeah.
because you're like, I know right. that's supposed
exactly.
to be cute.
That should be cute to me right now.
But I'm crying.
But I can't.
Because something's yeah. broken.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a nine-month-old and a two-year-old, and that's a really...
It's a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And you really are doing a remarkable job. This goes back to what we were talking about, like... last week with Liz Gilbert about like showing ourselves mercy.
Yeah.
We're not able to do it all.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean if you want to keep striving for it, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I will every day wake up and continue to strive to be able yeah. to do all 5,000 things.
Yeah.
Because it's just who I am.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't mean I should then be really mad at myself. I got piles of things that should go to schools right now
mm-hmm.
or be taken care of mm-hmm. that are important
mm-hmm.
that I just can't get to.
Yeah.
You are not alone. And I feel like that's really important to say.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone. No one is mad about the preschool.
No.
Eventually, you will get there.
Yeah, you will.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there is somebody in a house two doors down feeling similarly, but in a total different situation.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't alone.
Yeah.
It's normal. And you're doing such hard work right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to touch back on what you said at the beginning, where I can handle any of these one things. But what have we discovered? It's never just one thing.
Yep.
It's not one thing.
Yeah.
It's a million things all the fucking time. It's like five things and then 200 we haven't even mentioned or
right.
acknowledged,
yeah.
but that are there.
Yep.
And yet,
sometimes it's hard to do one
yeah.
thing because you're actually doing stuff right now.
Yes.
You're being held or clung to right now.
Yes.
You're feeding someone right now or you're...
Yeah.
planning a meal or cleaning up from a meal or both sometimes.
But we are told that that's not work.
Yeah.
So how could that be something?
Yeah.
I have to show you that I've been doing something with yeah. this checklist of like physical items, but you are right.
Yeah.
Sitting there having children crawl all over you because I'm still a human jungle gym.
Yeah.
That's fucking work.
Yeah, it is.
And it's exhausting.
And we love them, and yeah, we wouldn't sure trade out that no spot, but it's is exhausting.
It's still work.
And it's work.
Yeah, and yeah, it should still get the fucking respect it fucking deserves.
Yeah.
You are doing an amazing job, and we see you.
Yeah, we do.
Teresa, what did we learn today? We learned that the journey into trying to identify and implement self-care has gone through many cycles in the time that we've been parents and doing this show. And some of it falls into the camp of, before I had kids, I really had an opinion on how to do self-care. And the other half falls into the camp of the habitual expectations we put on ourselves to come last. And that doesn't mean that the other people in your family or in your village or in your community aren't also putting self-care on hold. This is not a you versus me versus them versus whatever. We all deserve it. But saying that doesn't mean it's easy to come by. So in reality, we haven't learned much of anything. I'm sad.
I know.
When you sent me this message, mm-hmm, you came up like right after you sent it saying, maybe we could talk about, you know, self-care and habits and blah, blah, blah. And then you said, now that I've read back over it, maybe that's too depressing. And kind of, but like, that's the lens I think we always are trying to achieve here.
Yeah.
I don't want to come onto this show and be like, you can do it. Try harder. Right? Like, because I don't want somebody telling me that.
Right.
This is constant work.
Yeah.
I just want the space and the energy to keep trying to work at it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's not sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. For myself, you know, and be like, oh, no, I'm really not doing this, though I'm doing all the things all the books tell me I should do. Put it on the calendar, make it a priority, spend money on it.
Right.
Then you'll really have to do it. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, the real takeaway, I think, is reflects back on what we were talking about earlier, which is people should be bowing on the ground. There should be.
Let's just bow to each other.
I will.
You get it.
Yeah. Just. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
And we need to be better at identifying that all the different things we are doing qualify as hard work.
Yep.
And
you can love your hard work, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Fucking, yeah. Who doesn't love your hard work?
Well
sometimes I don't really love the hard work. Sometimes the hard work leaves me crying.
Yeah.
And feeling like I never want human touch again.
Yeah. I just think that makes it harder, the constant like conflict of like, but I wouldn't want someone else to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just that is, I'm trying to let that be what it is and not worry about that too much either and just be okay with like loving it and it's too much.
Yeah. It can be both.
Yeah.
So we are bowing to you guys mm-hmm. and acknowledging all the hard work that you are putting in and the sensation of feeling like it's too much.
Yep.
We see you.
Yeah, we do.
And you're doing a great job. Let's go out and see each other. Teresa, you are doing a great job. And you are, above all, the greatest parent ever!
Biz.
Yes.
I bow to your majesty.
Yes.
You are amazing. You're masterful, truly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues, I got to low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, you know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Hannah Smith, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, not throw down Mama Blue. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, not throw down Mama Blue.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.